Hello and welcome to episode 2 of The Week on Dalal Street, the stock market podcast where we look at the action during the week as well as events to keep an eye out for next week. I'm Santosh Nair and with me is Anuj Singhal, CNBC TV18 Stocks Editor. In today's conversation, we'll be discussing the strong quarterly performance of IndusInd Bank and PVR, how to interpret the Q1 earnings of mid-cap IT companies announced during the week, and whether it makes sense to buy shares of oil refining companies and what is driving the uptrend in small and mid-cap names. Welcome, Anuj. A pleasure to be chatting with you on the markets again.
Well, great to be back here, Santosh. We had a very nice debut last week and hope to, continue this conversation with you.
Well, same here. So, Anuj, a good strong week for the market. Would you say there's a trend reversal now?
Santosh, this week was the best week that we have had on the last week for quite some time. I think the sense of it we got last week itself, last Sunday, some of my friends were asking me whether this market will give any dip. And this is a market where FOMO is back. Everyone wanted to buy at 15,000. And I'm telling you, the greed to buy at 15,000 has turned into panic to buy at 16,500. I think the market is giving at best a 30-40 point intraday dip and just moving on. This is a market which perhaps is going to make a lot of people who are sitting on sidelines really feel left out and just move on. Who knows, the market can make a move towards that 17,100, 17,200. I think the Bank Nifty is already at the 200-day moving average, which is what we discussed last week as well, that possibly we can make a move towards the 200-day moving average. The Nifty's 200-day moving average is 17,050. FIIs are back. Whether it's a bear market rally or start of a fresh bull market, I don't know. No way of knowing it. But the way the mid-caps are rallying, I think you feel good about it because, at the end of the day, portfolios are getting repaired and that's good news.
Well, let's look at the two major positive earnings surprises this week, starting with IndusInd Bank. Now, the stock has been a laggard in the private bank space. If you look at the price performance in the run-up to Q1, it didn't really look as if market was having too much of hopes from this bank.
A lot of this is also about the market itself, Santosh. The market, when it starts to rally, high beta names do well. And keep in mind, with IndusInd Bank, you had that extra baggage of that ED investigation, which led to the stock falling quite a bit ahead of the numbers. And I think, at the end of the day, remember the times when IndusInd Bank used to be, getting valuations of HDFC Bank. Those days are long gone, of course, now. Jury is still out on whether everything is right at IndusInd Bank or not. I don't know. Because there are a lot of people who believe that there's still a lot of stress in IndusInd Bank. But then, every market cycle is different. If this was the market of, say, 3 months back, there's no way IndusInd Bank would have reacted the way it did. But because right now it's a bit of a risk on and the market believes, you're getting a good bank at a reasonable valuation. Why don't just go ahead and buy the stock? You saw, for example, even RBL Bank from the lows had a decent rally from 80 to 95 thereabout. Of course, after the earnings that fell. But as I said, a large part of this is because of the market itself. But yes, in some sense, there was a bit of a relief that IndusInd Bank, at least in terms of asset quality, didn't report a howler. And in terms of the operational numbers, it was a good beat both quarter on quarter and year on year, which is something that the market liked.
Anuj, PVR is one stock which has been in the limelight for a while now. And again, a blockbuster set of first quarter earnings. A lot of analysts also turning positive on the stock. What are you reading here?
Santosh, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if you remember. This is one thing which we used to discuss in our last season's podcast when PVR fell to 800 to 900. That, I don't buy this argument that people would start to completely watch movies on OTT. The experience of going out with your family, taking them to a movie cineplex, watching it there with popcorn is a completely different experience. You don't have too many entertainment options in India. At the end of the day, going to a mall over the weekend and enjoying the movie is the number one option. And that is why, as soon as the pandemic was over, look at the kind of blockbusters we have seen over the last 3 months. And, even movies which are just pure entertainment, like Pushpa, like a, RRR, like a KGF, right? Which you would not have related to 3 or 4 years back. All of a sudden, they're turning multi, blockbuster, and that too in Hindi market. It tells you the kind of appetite people have for films, and it really has to be a rank bad film like Shamshera really for movies to flop. Otherwise, any decent movie, look at Bhulbhulaiya 2, look at Gangubai, any decent movie, it will scrape through. As I said, unless it's a really horrible film, Lega Shamshera. So that's a different issue. But PVR is telling you, and their foods and beverages is something which gives them a much better margin. You know, you go there for movies, you think it's a movie company, but in a way, it's a restaurant company as well. Because, you know, once you enter there, you have no other option, but you have to eat there. You have to even take the water from there. So, and with merger with Inox, it's going to be a monopoly. So, I think, look, you never know if there's going to be another leg of pandemic. There's no way of predicting that. But X of that, PVR is just the kind of stock where, you know, you will keep getting these blockbusters, and the earnings, I think, will become much more streamlined now than it was, say, over the last 2 years.
Well, any concerns there, Anuj, as far as the merger goes? You know, of course, its reach would clearly increase because of that. But at the same time, now you have two promoters there, you know, both having equal board speed. Plus, there is the equity dilution as well, because there's a share swap element there. So any concerns on that front?
You know, Santosh, I'll tell you one thing. You know, the once you realize that competition only hurts you, and you have two smart promoters who realize that, in that case, there's a good chance that they sort of put their ego at the back and let the business take over. And I think in case of PVR and Inox, that's what's going to be, right? I mean, I think my sense is that there's absolutely no concern on that front. As long as the CCI approval comes and the merger goes through, I think I don't see any operational, you know, sort of problems in this merged company going forward.
Well, plenty of mid-cap IT names announcing their numbers this week. Mm-hmm. What's the overall sense that you're getting?
Overall sense is that the days of just looking at mid-cap IT as one stream is over. You know, either they all used to go up together, they all used to fall. I think what you saw was clearly the market is willing to make a distinction. For example, you had Persistent, which clearly was best in class, and the stock did the best. You had Cyient, clearly, where there are some issues and the stock was underperforming. You had Mphasis, where again there was some issues, so perhaps it didn't do as well. Coforge perhaps didn't do as well, Santosh. So I think in the mid-cap IT space, now you'll reach a stage where the market will make distinction. It will be saying that, okay, if there are some companies, Tata Elxsi, for example, you know, last week I was talking about that. You know, even in the mid-cap IT space, if you can still have a niche of your own, you will still do well. Look, the issue is that, as I said last week as well, the valuation reset is something which a lot of these companies will have to contend with. Even good companies, right? Even Tata Elxsi is nowhere near its highs, though the earnings are best in class. That valuation reset aside, punishment for individual stocks will not be in same secular way like was the case, say, 2 months back when everything was falling across the board.
Well, we still keep hearing about this chatter about, you know, macro headwinds in the US. So, will that continue to be an overhang for the
absolutely,
sector?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that will be the number one driver from here on, Santosh. And, you know, for example, look at Wipro's numbers. It's telling you that, you know, there are still some concerns. It's not as if, you know, everything is hunky-dory for IT companies. And US is their biggest sort of geography. So in that sense, there would still be headwinds. There's absolutely no two ways about it. I think there's still one more quarter or two more quarters of pain left for IT stocks overall.
So, good performance by mid-caps and small-caps. Now, Anuj, before we got into the earnings season, the chatter was that you were likely to see a lot of earnings disappointment as far as the second-line names go. But at least till now, that's not been the case. How do you see the space playing out?
You know, still early days, Santosh, I would say, because, you know, we still have to see earnings of those who really can disappoint. And it's not that the earnings season is without disappointment. Havells was a major disappointment in terms of earnings, and that's a pure domestic play. That was a big disappointment. You saw over the weekend, Crompton Consumer, that looked like a bit of a disappointment. So there are disappointments. And as you head towards the back end of the earnings season, the back benches, as we call them, they normally disappoint more than the front benches. So in that sense, I think just because few earnings have been good, I don't think we should be celebrating that too soon. If the trend continues, which is more good than bad, then of course that would be good news for the market. But I think I would hold my sort of view on that for one more week. Perhaps in next week's podcast, we'll discuss it with details.
Well, some relief for oil refiners there with the government reducing the tax on exports. So does this make some of these stocks a good bargain?
You know, if it was, then these should have been the top gainers through the week, right? Barring that move that you saw on that day, the stocks actually underperformed. So, look, at the end of the day, basic, simple arithmetic of, you know, capital markets is anything in which there's ad hocism or government control will underperform. My basic philosophy in life is that if your earnings are impacted by which way the government thinks, and the government has its own sort of ramifications, it has to think about the economy, it has to think about general public. Stock market is really at the bottom of the pyramid when they have to think about, you know, the overall scheme of things. So in that sense, absolutely nothing wrong with what the government is doing. They have to do what is good for the country. But from the stock market point of view, these stocks, my sense is, will be an underperformer as long as this ad hoc is missed there.
Now, market seems to be totally unconcerned about the rupee, as if it's almost as though the currency doesn't really matter at all. Now, is it a case of the market here being very complacent?
I think so. I think that is something which I didn't like. The fact that the market is totally ignoring currency and the fact that, you know, it does not impact. Tell you something, you know, at the end of the day, if the rupee goes to 83 or 84 in a quick manner, it will derail the rally. This was a curious case where the market completely ignored. Maybe one reason, Santosh, was that the 80 level did not break convincingly. Somehow you would notice that 80 kept on getting defended. We hit 80.05 just one day, and that day itself the rupee managed to pull back. I think if you start to break 80 convincingly and start to move towards 81 or so, I think that is when perhaps the market will realize that the gravity of the situation.
Well, Anuj, last question. So what are the key things that would be on your radar for the week ahead?
The first thing, of course, is the earnings that the market will react to on Monday morning. I think the technical, Santosh, become very important, because the Nifty is now getting into the zone in which, I mean, if you start to take out the 200-day moving average, all of a sudden, a lot of money which is waiting on the sidelines will start to hit you, because you know, you cannot sort of be on the sideline and see a train just moving on. You know, at some point you will say that, okay, I need to get on this train, even if it's dangerous to get on this train, you will try to do that. FII inflow is something that I'll watch out for, whether this week was flash in the pan or is this momentum chasing ETF money, which is making a bit of a comeback. And of course, next week's most important cue is the FOMC decision, which comes out on Wednesday night, and we react on Thursday, which is monthly F&O expiry for us. I tell you what, this Thursday is going to be fireworks on either side.
What's your gut? What does your gut say, Anuj? 100 bips on the table?
I would say 75 basis points. Santosh, knowing the Fed, I think they would avoid the temptation of 100 basis points, purely because the data point over the last three or four weeks is telling you that the earlier rate hikes are working. So I think, look, the Fed normally guides the market very well. And my sense is they do 75 this time and leave the door open for one more rate hike. And then perhaps after that, you take a call. 100 they can do. But for me, I think that will be sort of an outlandish or sort of outlier more than the norm.
Thanks, Anuj. With that, it's a wrap on this episode of The Week on Dalal Street. Have a nice weekend, and thanks once again for sharing those insights with our listeners.
Thanks, Santosh. And what are your weekend plans? What are you doing?
Well, pretty much I'll be cooped up at home.
Okay, that's a good way to spend weekend. And thanks a lot, Santosh, and thanks to all our listeners as well.